You have your Bibles this morning. I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of John. I would like to read from John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with this passage of Scripture. It's where Jesus began to wash the feet of his disciples. He taught them a great example of humility and love that he was showing to them in spite of all of their shortcomings, and that we are to show one to another. The feet washing service is something that I thank the Lord for, and I pray that God will help us as long as we live that we might have that privilege and desire to wash one another's feet. In the middle of the discussion that where Jesus was talking to his disciples, there's a particular statement that he made that one night during this past week that God, as I was just laying in bed praying and thinking about God and his word, there was a particular expression that came to my heart that I feel like that God gave me, and I started to get up then. Sometimes I think about things and sometimes I forget them by the next day as I'm studying in bed at night. I didn't get back up. The next morning, it was still very strongly on my heart, and so I began to study this expression that God put on my heart that night. I've learned a lot in many hours of study this week. I've learned a lot about this one particular expression that God burdened my heart with, and I ask you to pray that God will help all of us that we might hear and understand His holy word. Before we begin to read and study, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in another moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, the privilege to know that You are our Heavenly Father. We thank You that we're Your children, that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You now for the privilege that we have to read and study Thy Word. We thank You for the songs that have been sung to Thy name's honor and glory. We thank You for the prayers that have been offered audibly as well as silently. And we pray now that as we begin to study Thy Holy Word, that Thy Spirit would be our teacher, that You would instruct us and help us to learn from the words of Jesus Christ. We thank You again for the brethren. We thank You for this church. We thank You for the week that we're planning for this coming week, and we pray that You'd bless all the teachers and preachers and all of the children and all the adults. Bless everybody as we assemble together, that we would be fitly joined together, that we would be great peace and unity and harmony, that we would help one another in all the different jobs that need to be done during this coming week. Help us to be patient and kind and loving and charitable in all that we do. Again, now bless this body of Thy people, bless all of Thy people the world over. Be with all of Your children that are sick and afflicted. We pray that Thou, as the great physician, would touch their bodies, strengthen them and heal them and lift them up. We also ask that Thou would bless the families of those who are sick. Bless those with special burdens and problems, and help us, Lord, to live closer to You and closer to each other every day. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord and our Savior, the friend who sticketh closer than a brother, in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. John chapter 13 and verse 13. John chapter 13 and verse 13. Jesus says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." I want us to think about that expression. Jesus says, "Ye call me Master and Lord." He is Master and Lord. And He says, "You call me Master and Lord." And then He says, "Ye say well." It's a good thing for us to call Him Master, and it's a good thing to call Him Lord. Because He says, "For so I am." He is Master and Lord. But we can't understand really everything that Jesus is saying here if we don't understand the meaning of the word Master and the meaning of the word Lord. I want us this morning to begin by looking at the word master. The word master in the Word of God usually comes from two different, completely different Greek words in the New Testament. In this verse of Scripture, the word master does not mean an authority like the word Lord. The word Lord means a supreme authority. But the word master here, as well as many other places in the New Testament, the word master here means the supreme teacher and instructor. Now that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you call me master. You call me the supreme teacher and instructor. And you say, well, for so I am. Isn't Jesus a wonderful, marvelous teacher? The way that Jesus went about teaching and all that he did in all of his teaching is absolutely amazing. It's amazing how Jesus, everywhere he went, Jesus, though he did a lot of healing and a lot of other things, one of the things that Jesus did everywhere he went is that he went about teaching, and sometimes he did some preaching also, but the main thing that the New Testament tells us that Jesus did is that Jesus was the master teacher or instructor. Let's go back and look at some of the things that the Word of God tells us about Jesus being the master teacher or instructor. Back up in your Bibles just a moment to the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're not going to have time, but I encourage you to go home and study. Take your concordance and look up the word master and look up the word, the times that the word master means teacher and instructor, because that's different than the times that the word master means a supreme authority. He is the supreme authority, but the word that usually is used there is the word Lord. But on the word master, usually it's talking about the teacher or an instructor. In Matthew chapter 4, after Jesus begins to do some preaching and teaching, Matthew 4 verse 23, notice what the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Please look at your Bibles. And the Word of God says, and Jesus went about all Galilee. What's the next word there? Okay, he was teaching. Very good. He was teaching in their synagogue. Now, usually when you think about going to the synagogue or you think about going to the church, one of the main things you think about is preaching. And I believe that all preaching is teaching. I don't think that all teaching is preaching, but I believe that all preaching, I believe that contained in every sermon, in every time that a man has ever preached, I believe that there is also teaching that goes on in that preaching. But right here, the Word of God is not focusing on his preaching to begin with, but says that he went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. There are three things that Jesus was going about doing, as is described here. He says he was going about teaching in their synagogue, and he was going about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In fact, as you study the Word of God and you look at the different times, the few times that the Word of God talks about Jesus preaching, that's what Jesus was always preaching about, was the thing that's described here. What does the Word of God say here that he was preaching about? The kingdom. The Word of God says that he went about teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Rather, in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, it is essential that we understand what it is if we are to ever understand the New Testament. And Jesus is the King of that kingdom. And the kingdom of heaven is something that God has prepared for his obedient children while they live here in the earth. And he was preaching about the kingdom of heaven, but he was also teaching. Now the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 5, what do we call Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7? What do we usually call Matthew chapters 5, 6 and 7. Somebody tell me, what do we call that? Okay, we call that the Sermon on the Mount. However, as you go home and study Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, doesn't matter which one of the Gospels you read it in, you do not find that the Word of God calls it the Sermon on the Mount. Don't have any problem with it being called that. However, I want you to notice what the Word of God does call it, and that is, God's Word says that Jesus was, what do you think it was saying? Teaching. Thank you, Brother Mike. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Here's what Jesus was doing in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," and then he begins to teach them. And brethren, there are more wonderful teachings in this sermon or in this passage of Scripture. I don't know of any three chapters that have more of the truth that we need to know and to live by than are contained in those three chapters. But he taught them. What did Jesus say in John 13, 13? "Ye call me," what? "Master." Now what does that word master mean? It means supreme teacher and instructor. Brethren, no one can ever read Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 without seeing that he is indeed worthy of being called the supreme teacher and instructor, because as you look at all that he taught here, it was things that confounded many of the Jews. It was things that confounded all Christianity. The depth of what Jesus was teaching in this Sermon on the Mount, the depth of what he was teaching was far deeper than anything they had ever heard before. It was deeper than anything that the Old Testament ever taught. The depth of Christianity and the depth of spirituality is described as he taught here in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. So is he worthy of being called Master? Meaning, in that passage, meaning teacher, supreme teacher, and instructor. Indeed, he is. Is it good for you to recognize him as the supreme teacher and instructor? It is. Look at the closing of Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. In the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, listen please to verses 28 and 29. The Word of God says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, after he has taught them, the Scripture says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them," "He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." I want you to understand that Jesus is the supreme teacher. And he taught as one having authority. You ever seen anyone that taught that didn't have authority or didn't look like they had any authority? I had a few professors in high school that they didn't have much authority. They couldn't even control the class. And they didn't act like they knew much about what they were teaching. They couldn't speak with authority. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ was the supreme teacher, and he taught as one having authority because he had all authority. He is the supreme teacher. He is the master teacher, and he taught as one having authority. Does he still have authority? Is he still teaching? Yes, he is. He teaches and guides us often through the Holy Spirit, but Jesus is still teaching today. He still, what did Jesus say in John 13, 13? "Ye call me Master and Lord." You call me Master, Teacher, and you say, "Well, because I am," Jesus said, "I am the Master, Teacher." Look now at Matthew chapter 10. Not only when Jesus taught. When Jesus taught, he taught with authority. And he didn't teach like the scribes and the Pharisees taught. He taught with authority. But I want you to notice something else different about the teaching of Jesus Christ. Look in your Bibles, please, at Matthew chapter 13. Look at verses 10 and 11, and you'll see that there was something different about the teaching of Jesus Christ. It was different than any other teacher. Did you know that, listen carefully to this, anybody else who ever teaches cannot teach like Jesus taught. No one. No one can teach like Jesus taught. He is the master teacher. He's the supreme teacher. Jesus could take a group of people and He could teach. And in His teaching, He would intentionally bless some of those in the, under the sound of His hearing of His teaching to understand. And He would intentionally cause others who were hearing Him to be confounded and have no idea what He was saying. Now that's an amazing thing, you know it? Most people that have very much intelligence who sit and listen to a teacher teach, their understanding to a great degree is determined by how smart they are and how much attention they pay to what's being said. But I want you to know there were people that were extremely intelligent. There were doctors and lawyers and people that had a high IQ, if you want to call it, and they could pay as careful attention as they wanted to, but when Jesus finished, they were totally bewildered and had no idea what He was talking about. Now, that's an amazing teacher, isn't it? And yet the babes in Christ, those that were humble, could sit there and understand everything He was saying. That, dear brothers and sisters, is the master teacher. He spoke in parables. Usually, we think about a parable, and the Word of God speaks a lot about Jesus teaching in parables. Never says He preached in parables, but He taught in parables. He spoke in parables. And as He spoke in parables, a parable is a natural lesson with a spiritual meaning. Usually, when I think about a parable, I think about some natural illustration that helps me understand the teachings of God's Word. Is that what a parable means to you? It's something that helps us understand the truth. But Jesus was asked, "Why are you speaking in parables?" And I want you to notice what the master teacher said. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 and 11, as Jesus has been teaching and speaking in parables, Matthew 13, verses 10 and 11, the Word of God says, "And the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And He was speaking to the multitudes in parables. And verse 11, "He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you," the pronoun "you" is referring back to who in verse 10? The disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ, or a follower of God. He says, "It is given unto you," it is given unto disciples, it is given unto followers of Christ to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now that's a master teacher, you know it? That you would think that anybody that just gives a natural illustration, that's going to help everybody understand more. But what Jesus says is, "I'm speaking in parables, so that some can better understand and so that some will be completely lost about what My teachings are." This sister said that's usually the way it goes too. And that's true. That's true. The Word of God is so marvelous that even when it is preached, the only people who are able to feed on the Word of God, the only people who are able to hear and understand the Word of God, are people that God opens their eyes and blesses their ears to hear the Word of God. And the Word of God sinks down into their hearts, and they begin to do what God's Word says. And the Word of God has free course when God blesses the man to speak and then blesses the people to hear and understand and believe and obey God's Word, and God is glorified, and the Word of God does not return unto Him void. But do you know what God sometimes does? God blinds people so that they cannot see. He confounds their ears where they cannot hear and they cannot understand. I don't think I have that ability. But Jesus did, because He is, what did He say over there? Ye call me what? Ye call me Master. You call me the Supreme Teacher. You call me the Supreme Instructor. And you say, well, for so I am. And as you look at Him teaching, you know that He's worthy. And He alone is worthy to be called the Master Teacher and the Master Instructor. He could take such little things, He could take a little child and set a little child in the midst of them. He could just teach all kinds of things from that little child, couldn't He? He could talk about planting. He could talk about building. He could talk about all kinds of things and just sit there and talk to the people and speak to the people and teach the people. And there were people that would just sit there and just rejoice and feed on what Jesus was saying, and others would leave saying, I don't know what in the world He was talking about. That's a master teacher that can do something like that. He spoke with authority, and He spoke in such a way that only the people that He intended to understand what He was saying could understand the master teacher. Go with me to John just a moment. Turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 3. There was a man who came to Jesus by night. What was that man's name in John chapter 3? Nicodemus. You can think what you want to about Nicodemus. I personally think that Nicodemus loved Jesus and wanted to learn from the Master, from the great teacher. And here's what Nicodemus said. The Word of God describes this in John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The Scripture says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God. Now that's the one thing he knew. He was going to learn a lot more, because Jesus was going to start to talk to Nicodemus about being born again. And I don't think up until this point anybody had ever heard about being born again. And yet Jesus begins to teach this man. He began to teach him because he understood this is a teacher come from God. Isn't that a marvelous expression? We know this. You remember the blind man said, whether he's a sinner or no, I don't know, but I know this. Whereas I was blind, I can now see. And Nicodemus didn't know everything he needed to know about Jesus, but he was going to learn a lot more. But the one thing he said, I know, is you are a teacher come from God. What did Jesus say in John 13? You call me Master. You call me Teacher. And you say, well, for so I am. And so it is that Nicodemus recognized Him as the Master Teacher, and Jesus then began to teach him. And I would say that John chapter 3, at least portions of John chapter 3, are quoted by more Christians today than most any other passage in the Word of God. And yet, unless God gives you understanding, you can quote these verses and never understand at all what Jesus was talking about. Why? Why? How can that be? Because Jesus is the Master Teacher. And He can say words that to you are the most precious words in all the Word of God, and to others are very offensive words. He can say words that to you have clear meaning, and to others they have no idea what the Bible is talking about in that particular passage of Scripture. Because He is the Master Teacher. I don't think I've ever called Him until this week in studying. Now, I've known He's the Master. meaning, but you see, every time that I thought about the word master, you know what my mind went to when I thought about the word master? What do you think my mind went to when I thought about master? A big person? A ruler? Yes, yes. I equated, listen carefully, I equated the word master with Lord. And in fact, as you study the Word of God, you will find that there are times in the New Testament where the word master does come from the same root word or the same identical word as the word Lord. But in this passage, in John 13:13, and many other passages, the word master is referring to the supreme teacher. And so there were two great truths that Jesus said when you say, "You call me master and Lord." I thought he was just saying master and Lord, ruler, great ruler, one with the supreme authority. But no, he's saying, "You call me master, you call me the master teacher, you call me the great teacher, you call me the instructor, and you say, well, for so I am." Look at John chapter 7 just a moment. John chapter 7, look please, beginning in verse 14. John chapter 7, beginning in verse 14. The Word of God says, John chapter 7, verses 14 through 16. The Word of God says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple," and what did He do in the temple? "And taught. And the Jews marvel, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" You think Jesus went to college, if there was such a thing as college? Did Jesus have much formal education? That's the thing that they wondered and marveled at, is that how in the world can a man who doesn't have these letters, have you ever seen a man's name listed and then after it lists BS, MD, and all the other letters that might be listed there? Well, Jesus didn't have those letters. Now, Paul had those kind of letters, but Jesus didn't have those letters. And the thing that caused them to marvel as they heard Him teach is, how in the world can a man who doesn't have all this education, how can he teach like Jesus is teaching? It's because Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He was the master, supreme teacher and instructor. Verse 15 says, "And the Jews marvel, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me." Isn't that the doctrine that He was teaching? Everything He was teaching wasn't something He was making up. It was something that was given to Him by the Father. He was sent by God the Father down into this world. And He was sent to be our Savior, and He was sent to be our Lord, and He was sent to be the head of the church, and He was sent to be our example. But it seems that the thing most often mentioned in the Scriptures in the New Testament is He was sent to teach. And therefore, when Jesus said to His apostles over there, when He said, "Ye call me Master, and you say well, for so I am." Brethren, I want you to all begin to call Him Master Teacher. Master Teacher. I want all of us to begin to recognize and see Jesus not just as our Savior and not just as our Lord. And I hope that maybe we can study about that second expression, Lord, because that word Lord has a tremendous meaning. Maybe, the Lord willing, we'll study that tonight. But right now, I just want you to leave here remembering that Jesus says, "You call me master, teacher, instructor," and you say, "Well, I don't think I've ever said that about Jesus." The way that I can now say it is that Jesus is the master teacher. I've known He was a teacher, but I've never known that the word master in that place and many other places means the teacher and instructor. And we're to call Him Master and Lord. And if you do that and you understand what it means, you'll say well, because so, Jesus said, so I am. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ.